In the greeting of the Lord's Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In ancient times, they'd read the whole letter and then talk about it. We'll just talk about verses in the text today from Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 14. You heard those before. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Lord, shine the light of your word into our hearts and let us reflect that light all around for your name's sake. Amen. In the name of him who is the light of the world and says to us, his children, you are the light of the world, my dear Christian friends. The story is told about a seminary student who was really struggling financially, and it's getting worse now that student debt is run away in so many cases. But back then, he went with his wife to the seminary president and said, we've really got some serious problems. And the seminary president asked him a strange question. Are you giving the first fruits to the Lord of your income? And the student was baffled. How does that help our finances to give up more? And besides, I'm training to be a pastor and give my life to the Lord. And my wife is going to have to give up lots to be a pastor's wife. Isn't that enough? Before I tell you what the seminary president answered, I find it interesting that the young man, without realizing it, was actually illustrating one of those profound things that Martin Luther said, that man is converted in three stages. Remember that? First his head, then his heart, then his wallet. Notice something else about the young man with his question. Sometimes, in spite of our sanctified faith, our goodwill given to us by God, no matter how hard we try, we mess up. That's why, dear friends, we constantly need God's Word, the Holy Spirit, to bring us back, turn the lights on for us once again, because as Isaiah said, it's the servant of the Lord that he sent that's blind and deaf. We never get over that this side of heaven because we still have a sinful nature warring against our new nature that can see and hear. So the Holy Spirit reminds us again today what we are. He says, you are the children of light, so live as children of light. If you wonder why the NIV says live and the Evangelical Heritage Version says walk, it's the literal translation in the Greek to say walk as children of light, walk about. But we typically would say live. I do like that old Hebrew expression that comes out of the Old Testament. Wherever you walk, wherever you go, you need to follow the way and the light, which is Christ. Now, though, we have to remember where we came from. And that's what's so helpful about the Holy Spirit is giving us this review. You were once darkness. Darkness is like a rabid wolf. Won't let you alone. Always stalking and looking for the stragglers. That rabid wolf that will find those who are distracted and try to drag you back into the darkness so that you won't have the joy and the light of Christ. Reminds me of talking to a friend one time in their driveway and not realizing that, of all places, there's still danger. Because I didn't hear a growl, I didn't hear a sound. And the husky they called Old Blue had come up behind me and bit one leg, and before I could turn around, nailed the other leg too. Didn't break the skin, but sure had some bruises there, and what hurt the most was my friend's reaction. We don't usually let him out of the kennel. Thank you very much. Darkness never apologizes. Darkness just keeps coming. Just darkness wants to drag us down. Rabid dog. Realize what a miracle it is when the Lord turns the lights on inside our head so that we start to see. Otherwise, we are not just blind, but we're in the darkness of that deep, dark cave. And so he says, you were once darkness, not you're in the darkness, not you're seeing darkness, but you are darkness. You were darkness, darkness itself. No light comes from inside of us by nature, dead in our transgressions and sins. You were once darkness. And that darkness is to picture the gross immorality that is there in our minds and hearts. You wonder in the world around us why there are so many strange ideas and why this anger and this madness. But he says, learn what is pleasing to the Lord. He says, try to learn, but really a better translation is to test what is pleasing to the Lord and don't participate in the fruitless deeds of darkness. Instead, expose them. Have you noticed how the darkness around us is just so angry? The ones that are still in the darkness have no use for your light. In fact, people will even get mad if you're happy. What is your problem? Maybe you know people at work like that, kids at school. Is this really? We're all supposed to be miserable because you are? Or they have these ideas of their own morality, what's right and wrong, and how dare you suggest that there might be a different morality. So everything is to be tolerated except what you believe, especially if you believe that book, you know, that old book. So the darkness is there, and to really reach into our mind, it's like the Lord says we have to take care of the mind first. You know how in military or law enforcement, they always say you got to get your head right, or in basketball games, you got to get your head in the game. There is something to that in coming out of the darkness, being delivered of the darkness, and coming into the light of the Lord. And so he reminds us, you were once darkness. There was no way you could get your head in the game till the Lord took care of it. And then the heart. The heart still in the darkness. You think about how that darkness can seep down into your feelings even when you're young and you're trying to be good, and yet there is that time in your life, those teen years, when it seems like whatever the parents say or do at some times, they're trying their best, but it's never enough, it's never right. Sometimes those memories carry on later into life. What were we supposed to do? And that's against your sanctified goodwill, but the darkness is still there. The darkness will still attack those who stood before the Lord's altar and promised lifelong love and faithfulness. The darkness creeps into the heart with that pointing finger, where all of a sudden two sinners are acting like one is a worse sinner than the other one. The darkness is there throughout our society because it attacks all relationships and makes them fall apart, and it's just what we are by nature. You were once darkness. We need to recognize that the head, the heart, are darkness by nature. And some don't want to talk about it, but they're always thinking about it. You know? They look inside and maybe there's lots of bills in there. They look in the bank accounts and lots of numbers, but they're in that mindset where they're looking for light in their wallet, and it's never going to give them light there any more than it will in their heart. Think about it. All the pirates you've known in your life, or maybe some reading your books, was there ever a pirate who was happy about how much gold he had? Was there ever anybody who said, I mean, by nature, if I have enough, I don't need any more money. You've got investors who have millions of earnings, but live as if they're in poverty. They can never really enjoy it because wealth is so, so fickle and failing. And you know, you'll watch the lines on those graphs and they can plummet like that. And I remember a man who had millions, and he walked out of his house one day and he had tears flowing down his cheeks. In 1 second, $5,000 out the window. That'd be like $50,000 today. And it just... So they're telling you, stay the course. You're in it for the long haul. And while those numbers are going down for you, the brokers are still getting your fees. Who's winning? Where is the light in that? It will always disappoint if you remain as children of the darkness. That light will never come from those dollar signs, because unfortunately, as life goes on, there is always an end point. And as the saying goes, hearses don't have trailers. So there was a man who actually had it happen to him. Some guy told me one time he felt like everything was going fine, but he was waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's how he put it. He was waiting. It's this feeling of, okay, things are fine now, but what if? And then you can't even enjoy where you are because the darkness is trying to seep back in worry, right? So the oldest book of the Bible gets right into that problem. The man's name? Job. Lost everything in two stages. First, all his wealth, and he was one of the wealthiest men in the East, as it says, about the time of Abraham. He lived 2200 BC. And his family as well. And darkness was there in his family because his wife said, just curse God and die. And that's what Satan said Job would do, but he wouldn't do it. Even after that prince of darkness attacked his health, by permission of the Lord, God allowed this. Job still kept saying things like, when he has tested me, I will come forth as gold. There was still the light of hope shining for Job, even though flickering like a candle in the wind, it was still there because Job was not looking at earthly things to give him satisfaction or peace. In fact, when you get to the near depths of despair for Job, those great Easter words, oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll. All these years later, we still hear them. That they would be inscribed with an iron tool on lead and engraved on a rock forever. You know what comes next. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. So while his life and his physical being are darkness just because of the world he lives in, that light is still shining, that light of hope. You were once darkness, but now be what you are. Now you are children of light. Walk in the light. Live in the light of the Lord. When the Lord first comes and turns the lights on in our minds, it's from the gospel call of God who says, look at this one who is the light of the world. And as we begin to look at Jesus, we are hearing him say, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Eyes on him, you see light that the dear beloved apostle John wrote about in the beginning of his gospel when he takes us back to the very beginning. So John chapter 1 takes us to Genesis 1. Remember those words? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it, or the darkness has not overcome it, or the darkness has not taken it down. We can't translate that too well there. It's like that darkness is that rabid wolf that wants to take you down. But in the light of him who keeps calling you, I am the light of the world, darkness can't do it. This is really the answer for those times of depression when it feels like everything is dark. And that attacks kids too. Some of the saddest stories of teen depression are kids that were very bright, very popular, athletic, intelligent, and all of that. But that darkness came over them and brought them to despair because they couldn't see the light. When you keep your eyes on him who is the light of the world, he lifts you out of that at any age, whether you're a teenager or the elderly, where the other side of suicide comes statistically. The elderly and the teenagers, those are the times when it's just so hard to keep your eyes on him who is the light of the world, but he keeps on coming. Listen to me. Look at me. Keep your eyes on me. I give you sight. I turn the lights on in your mind. So he says, test everything. See if it is pleasing to the Lord. Don't let the darkness shut you up. Because the Lord says very clearly what is pleasing to him and what is not throughout the scriptures. They may want to call it a lifestyle. God calls it an abomination, homosexuality. They may want to claim God made me this way, but God created all of us and he's not responsible for our sin, no matter what form that sin may take. The Lord clearly says that it's an abomination, heterosexual sins as well, outside of marriage, enjoying the blessings of marriage without being married. Friends with benefits, they call it. He also condemns greed, selfishness, selfish ambition, political activism that's against the government, condemned in Scripture. Plenty of times, masters against the workers, workers against the masters, labor relations. The Lord is clear on so many of those things if we just go to his word and let him turn the lights on for us. He wants that light to shine in his word to show us what is pleasing to the Lord. And the Bible is the only book I know of that says test everything. And the test is always, what does Scripture say about it? Because this is what pleases God, and the heart of faith says, that's what pleases me. And the heart. How do the lights go on in the heart? You know, those dark feelings can keep wanting to come back there, but you go to the Lord who says, you know, you fathers, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Will not your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If we as sinful fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, you know, they ask for food, you don't give them a rock or a snake. Remember that? We give them good things. Well, the heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit, and when those dark feelings are coming, go back to his word and let him bring joy to your heart. The lights go on again. One of the characters from Lutheran Bible camp was so dark-skinned that she could basically disappear while we were playing hide-and-seek as the sun was going down. And she would play on this. I remember her calling out one time, hey, you guys, you can't see me, right? Watch, I'll smile. That was her. She was just such a character. And isn't it really true that the smile can light up a room, but the smile doesn't make its own light? And husbands and wives could do this with a smile in marriage. Now, that's not going to work if you're ignoring problems and not dealing with them, but there are just some times that bad moods could be set aside pretty quickly. If instead of looking at ourselves and our own weaknesses and all the plans that maybe we had for this or that, if we just come back and keep our eyes on the Lord, it also comes down into our hearts so that the smiles can be there and the honor and the love that the Lord wants. We did stand before the Lord's altar and promise lifelong love and faithfulness to one another, to honor one another in the Lord. That can only happen as you keep your eyes on him, because as you're looking at the light, your face is reflecting that light. and that light is Christ. But you'll never make that light from following your heart. No. Let the heart follow the Lord. Then the lights are on. Then the heart is there. And then the conversion that the Lord brought about through his word on the mind and the heart can also reach that seminary student with his problem in his finances. The professor explained, the Lord makes certain promises to us, and you have to bank on those promises. He's disciplining you at this time. Yes, he wants our life. He wants our hands. He wants our stewardship of time and talent. But it's really still true that the last place converted is our wallet. Whether you're a pastor or a layman, a student or a worker, it's still true. And we struggle with this because the world wants that darkness to seep back in there too, into the finances, congregations, and families. It's true. But promises of the Lord are what turn the lights on for us and give us his way of banking. So seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Bring the first fruits to the Lord, it says. And so the student did, as advised. And the Lord, in his mercy, reduced the expenses, increased the income, whatever it takes. His banking is so different than ours. And then he also gave twins, and I don't mean little kids, but twin blessings that Paul was talking about also in his writings. Holy Spirit tells us this. He says to the twins, godliness with contentment, great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing with us. But having food and clothing, we will be content with that. So the lights go on when the promises come and we focus on the Lord, who not only gives us good advice and good moral training, but shed the blood that washed away all the times you and I mess up no matter how hard we try. When our mind's just not right and our heart's just not right and the finances, you know what they are. Well, that's why Christ died, Christ came, and Christ rose again, so that he who is the light of the world can continue to shine on us. And he says, surely I will be with you all the days, every single day, to the gathered goal of the age, when it all comes together in Christ. And all of these things that look like such treasures here will seem like little more than kids' toys. And they pave the streets in heaven with gold, and the gates and the foundations are precious stones like we use cement here. In heaven, God's glory, the light, the joy in his presence. Live as children of light, bound for glory with God. In Jesus' precious name, amen.